Welcome to The Laundry Hour, a podcast encouraging stay-at-home moms to fulfill their God-given and extraordinary purpose in their seemingly ordinary lives. I'm your host, Jamie Williams. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of The Laundry Hour. I hope that you have enjoyed our Loving God and Loving Others series. I hope you've also enjoyed my little inserts of things like the Bethel worship experience that I had, that life update I shared a few weeks ago, as well as my husband's birthday special. But what I wanted to do today was kind of do like a recap of all the stuff we talked about for loving God and loving others, and then just kind of talk about a few examples. So what we talked about with loving God back January 21st, if you were here with me that whole time, if you weren't, hopefully this would be a good recap. But if you haven't listened to those episodes, I would encourage you to go back. I think they are truly God-inspired. But we talked about loving God as like a general overview of it just being loving self-denial, like that we are laying ourselves down to obey Him, to serve Him, to listen to Him, to choose Him over anything and everything else with wholehearted devotion. We saw that in three specific ways where God's word says to love God with all of your heart. And our heart is this place in us where everything we do flows out of it. Our heart is also easily swayed and constantly changing. Like, that sounds like the biggest paradox. Everything I do flows out of this thing that cannot make up its mind. How terrifying would that be? Which is why God's word says to guard your heart and to set your heart to seek the Lord. Our heart is like the seat of our affections. You know, whatever our heart is chasing after, that's where we're going to go. So we've got to constantly keep bringing our heart back to God. And one of those examples, I like to call a heart check. And so it's just honestly being honest about what's inside your heart. One example that we see in scripture is David. David is honest about what's in his heart when he is in love with the Lord and when he is like upset and frustrated and angry. Like, David does not hold anything back. And I think what is good about that is that David can talk through all of those things, but then at the end of a chapter where he's like angry and wishing he was dead, he says, "But you, Lord, are in charge." He comes back to truth. Once he gets through all of his feelings, he can come back to truth. I think our issue is that we never go through our feelings, so we never get to the truth. So I think those heart checks are really important, where we honestly are truly just honest about what's going on. What's also cool and necessary is having people around us that will also check our hearts. So your husband, your closest friend, people that are not, that love you so much that they're not afraid to hurt your feelings by saying like, "Hey, what's your motive for doing that?" Or, "Hey, you seem like you're really concerned about other things right now." Because sometimes we have blinders and sometimes our heart, you know, wants to go that way and we are not doing a good job guarding it. So we need some help guarding it and being around people that will guard us as we guard them is what I think Proverbs means by iron sharpening iron. Like, sometimes we need to beat up against each other so that we can make ourselves stronger. And of course, all of that is done out of love. So another way we see loving God is loving Him with all of our soul. And when we talked about our soul is the living part of us that can die. And so Jesus says that, you know, if you lose your life, you will keep it. What does He mean? You'll keep your soul. So that losing our life means we keep our soul. So to love God with our soul means I must lose my life for Him. Now, that could mean truly losing our life, like a martyr, but it can also mean just laying down our life every moment, every day. Like, I'm losing the parts of my existence in this world that I think that matters. For example, choosing the commission that we've been given over our comfort. That's what typically leads to martyrdom, but it also leads to people saying, hey, it's comfortable to have lots of money, but God's great commission says to make disciples. So I will lose my life by using this money that isn't mine. It's actually God's, using this money to make disciples, or using my time that's not really my time, it's actually God's, to make disciples. So I'm making steps every day to lose my life so that I can keep my soul. He says, if you love your life in this world, then you would lose your soul. So there must be a love for my soul that's going to live forever in eternity. So there must be a choice between eternal life or earthly life. So if I'm choosing eternal life, I'm probably going to choose the things like God's kingdom over my kingdom. I'm going to choose his mission over my mission. I'm going to choose his plan over my plan. And that is an active way I'm losing my life, my kingdom, my plan, my money, my time, and focusing on what he has given me this life for in the first place, which is glorifying himself. So I have a choice to constantly lose my life here in this earth so that I can gain eternal life there in heaven. So another way we can love God is with all of our strength, which is so interesting because there are scriptures that say that I am weak, but then there are scriptures that say that God is my strength, or that I should seek his strength and that he gives me strength. And so there's this interesting, another paradox where it's like, okay, well, I have strength, but none of that strength is in myself. The Second Corinthians says that his grace is sufficient in my weakness. I think what this strength portion is talking about is our realization of our dependency on God, our need. So if our heart is our affections towards him, if our soul is our life we give over for him, then our strength is a realization that we are desperately in need of him. Like, in need of him. Like, I cannot do anything without you. I would fall apart. Like, if you stopped letting oxygen flow, I would die. If you took away gravity, I would die. Like, if you moved the sun even an inch closer, inch further away, I would die. You get what I'm saying? Like, we, and I understand that those were like very drastic examples, but just realizing that we need him. Like, we need him. Like, a human beings are the only being where the baby comes out completely incapable. Every other type of being that God created, they have some type of ability to just be born and know how to function. Human beings, they cannot do anything. Like, I've had two little girls. I'm about to have another little girl in September, and I'm aware of how babies can't do anything. They need you. Why is that? I think God wanted us to know from the get-go that we were desperately in need. Desperately in need. Because even for a moment, if we think we can do anything on our own, we will not trust him. Right? So these three examples, oh wait, I wanted to say about strength. I think one of the biggest ways that we can remind ourselves that we need God and then ask God for help is through prayer. Like, an amazing way that we can love God with all of our strength is in the way that we pray. Scripture says that we are to pray without ceasing. We see the early church devoted to prayer. My husband and I have been praying every morning for the past week, and we've done this before, but it just baffles my mind all over again how the simple things can make the biggest impact. Like, it has transformed, like, how I feel, how I look at life. And it's not even like we haven't been praying for like 4 hours or anything. It's like maybe 10 minutes. And it just changed my thoughts because it is a reminder that I need him. Yeah, like, God has given us such a gift in prayer. Okay, I'm going to get off that really quick. So, if we love God, we will show him that by how we obey him, how we seek to please him over man, and how we do what he says. Of course, we cannot obey him with the hearts that we have. And we see that all throughout scripture. And what's so beautiful is that God sent Jesus so that we can have a new heart, so that we can actually give him all of our affections, all of our life, and depend on him with all of our need. That is just a reminder of why we need Jesus, so that we can actually fulfill these commandments that God has given us, so that we can love him with everything that we are. And so that we can love others too. So loving God is loving self-denial. Loving others is too. It's considering others more highly than ourselves, putting their needs above our own. And so we talked about loving others as you love yourself, loving your enemies like God loves his enemies, and loving others as Jesus has loved us. So as we looked at loving others as yourself, we looked at the Good Samaritan. And it brought us back to that golden rule of do unto others as you wish they would do unto you. Like, if you want others to show you mercy, you show them mercy. If you want others to show you understanding, you show them understanding. If you want others to show you kindness, you show them kindness. Pretty simple, pretty standard, but yet we don't do it. Why is that? Because at the root of ourselves, we are selfish. And so we don't like laying ourselves down. That's why it's hard for us to love God. That's why it's hard for us to love others. But the wonderful thing is we now have Jesus. We now have his spirit. If we have put our faith in him, and we have the ability, the actual ability now to love God, and the actual ability now to love others by the power of the spirit working in us. So we can think for a moment, like, I think of this, the practical way of loving others as yourself is just thinking about love languages. Like, I like to be loved this way, so let me love people in that way, because they probably want to be loved in that way. You know, they want to be heard. They want to be appreciated. They want people to spend time with them. Like, it truly isn't rocket science. It just takes us taking the time to consider others just like we consider ourselves. Now, what about loving your enemies as God loves his enemies? What I love about this is that God sent Jesus to die when we were his enemies. He showed love to his enemies. So that's why he can say, you show love to your enemies. So I think that we should remember Romans 5:8, like, memorize that, like, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we should say, okay, they're my enemy. What should I do in this moment? I know that I want to do this thing, but I'm going to show them mercy. I want to be rude, but I'm going to show them kindness. Just like the scripture says, you know, as it talks about your enemies, like, give them your extra cloak, feed them, give them a drink, give them a place to stay. Just like you would love others as yourself, and obviously it's easy to love people who love you, that same action you would do to your enemy. Do unto others as you wish they would do unto you. Even though they're your enemy, I know you wish that your enemy would love you, right? So you love them as the believer. You love them. And who knows? Because of God's love towards us as enemies, now we are considered his friends. We're considered his children. We're a part of his family. That act of love changed our relationship with him. Your act of love towards your enemy could change your relationship with them. They could be your favorite person after your act of love or your acts of love. Now, how do we love others as Jesus loved us? Now, Jesus loving us, we get to the ultimate dying to self. Just like losing our soul, he completely lost his life. And it could go that far with you in your life, but it could also be just daily choices of dying to yourself and losing your life for another. That it's all about their building up and what they need. Remember, we talked about all the one another's, giving to one another, submitting to one another, bearing one another's burdens. Like, there are so many one another's in the New Testament, so many examples of what loving one another looks like. It looks like giving up your precious pride. It looks like giving up your preferences, and it looks like giving up your privilege for one another. Because Philippians 2 talks about how Jesus didn't consider his role as the Son of God something to be grasped. So he laid it down so that he could come to earth to be a human, a servant, and die. He was God. He is God. But he was like living as God in heaven on a throne, being awesome. And he said, I can lay this aside to love my Father and do what he asked me to do. And in that, loving you and giving you life everlasting. So that's what we've been called to. We've been called to love the Lord with all of our heart, our soul, and our strength. And we've been called to love others as ourself, as God loves his enemies, and as Jesus has loved us. It is a tall order, but we've been given power by the Holy Spirit to be his witnesses. Because we have the power of Christ, we actually have new hearts that can actually love God and love others. And we have the power to actually overcome sin and ourself to love selflessly and like God. So I think what makes this difficult is because we're just focused on a whole bunch of other things. So I'm going to say, I think it makes it difficult for me because I'm focused on other things. If I spent even half the time as I do thinking about all the other stuff that's in my brain about how to love God and love other people, I think I would automatically do better. Now just imagine if I just, you know, wholeheartedly thought about loving God and loving others. It wouldn't be as difficult and as hard because I wouldn't be choosing between things. And that's what loving God really means, right? I choose him over other things. So maybe what I really need to do is say, okay, you need to stop choosing those things and choosing God. That's an act of loving him with all of my heart, right? So I hope this study and series was good for you as it was for me to walk through these things separately and together and to think about what I am called to do and making every effort to obey because I love him. And because I love him, I want to do these things. And so I feel like you're feeling that same way. But I hope it's an exciting feeling rather than an overwhelming feeling. But if you do feel overwhelmed, let me pray over you. Father, thank you just for giving us your word and not leaving us as orphans without you in this world, trying to do what you've asked us to do and not knowing how. You've given us beautiful examples of how you have loved us, and we can only love because you've loved us. And so we want to lay aside everything else that we are putting attention on and put our attention, put our affections, put our lives, put our need all into your hands, God, that we may love like you and love you with all of us. We want to be pleasing to you. We want you to look at us and say, those are my daughters and I am well pleased with them. So help us, Holy Spirit. Thank you for a new week, a new day, and a new outlook on this life that you have given us. We are grateful and excited to be yours. In Jesus' name, amen. If you liked today's episode, please subscribe. If you loved it, please share. If you got to have it, please write a review. I truly would love to hear what you have to say. And if you want more, tune in next week because we are going to continue our love series, but in a different way and be more specific about the others. So, and by next week, I mean all next month, the month of May, we will be talking about loving your husbands. So I'm excited about it. I hope you're excited about it. And I look forward to loving on you and loving your husbands all next month. But until then, I leave you with 2 Peter 1:2. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ rest on you and your families. I love you.